Welcome back. Today we're doing sound design for drum and bass at 170 BPM, and the goal is super practical. Take a raw field recording and turn it into an airy, organic riser that feels alive, builds energy, and then gets out of the way so the drop hits harder. This is intermediate, so I'm going to assume you know your way around arrangement view, automation lanes, and basic routing, but I'll still coach you through the why behind the moves, because risers aren't just noise going up. In DNB, a good riser is energy management. Alright, open Ableton Live and set your tempo to 170 BPM. Now, in arrangement view, set yourself up for a classic DNB phrase. Put a locator at the start of an 8-bar build, and another at the drop. If you want bigger drama, you can plan for 16 bars, but we'll build an 8-bar version first because it's the most reusable. Create one audio track and name it Field Riser. Treat this like a drum element. It should be controllable, mixable, and easy to mute or print. Optional but recommended. Create two return tracks. Name one REV long and the other delay wide. Even if we don't go crazy with delay today, having it ready makes it easy to do throws later. Now pick a field recording. Phone mic is fine. Zoom recorder is great. You can even rip ambience from a video if it's clean enough. What works best is stuff with steady broadband texture, wind through trees, rain, crowd noise, traffic wash, train station ambience, beach noise, room tone, vinyl crackle, anything that already has air in it. Drag your recording onto Field Riser. Before you add a single fancy effect, do what I call diagnostic listening. Solo the track. Close your eyes for a second and ask, what is this recording already giving me? If it's mostly hissy and wideband, that's perfect for airy whooshes. If it has occasional peaks, those can become micro impacts and movement. If it has a tonal element, like a C hum or an engine note, that can turn into a note-like tension later if we lean into it. Decide now, do you want this riser to feel like wind, meaning broadband and floaty? Or do you want it to feel like a tuned lift, meaning a bit more tonal and musical? We can do either, but it changes how we warp and how we pitch. Let's prep it quickly. First device, EQ8. Turn on a high-pass filter. Start around 200 Hz. If your recording is rumbly, steepen that slope up to 48 dB per octave. The big concept here. In DNB, risers are usually a top layer, not a full-range element. A reliable target is to keep most of the riser's energy above about 500 Hz for most of the build, and only let it hint lower right near the end. That's how you avoid the classic problem where the build sounds huge, but the drop feels smaller because you already filled the low end. If the recording is harsh, do a gentle notch somewhere around 2 to 5 kHz. Don't overdo it. Tiny dips, like 2 to 4 dB, are often enough. Now add utility after the EQ. If the recording is kind of mono-ish, set width to around 120 to 150%. Keep your gain conservative. We're going to add space and motion later, so don't chase loudness right now. Next, we're going to turn this into an airy texture using warp. Click the audio clip and turn warp on. For this type of sound, texture mode is usually the money. Set warp mode to texture. Now adjust grain size. Try somewhere around 80 to 200 milliseconds. Bigger grain size tends to smear more, giving you that misty wash. Then set flux around 15 to 40 to add movement, kind of like spray. You're listening for continuous, non-clicky, and airy. If your recording is more tonal and you want it smoother, you can try Complex Pro instead. In that case, keep formants somewhere around 0 to 40 and envelope around 80 to 130. But for most field noise risers, texture is the vibe. Now stretch the clip to fill 8 bars. Yes, even if it's a 3-second recording, that's the whole point of texture warp. It lets you turn a tiny moment into a full build. At this stage, you should have something that already feels like atmosphere. But it's not yet a riser, it's just a pad of air. So now we give it direction. Add auto filter after EQ8. Set the filter type to high pass, slope 24 dB. Add a little resonance, something like 0.6 to 1.2. Be careful here. In DNB, too much resonance quickly becomes a whistle and that whistle will fight your lead, your vocal or worse, your snare crack. If you want a bit more presence, turn on drive and give it 2 to 6, just enough to make it speak. Now automate the filter frequency. Here's the mindset, risers tend to go from thin to fuller, so start with the high pass cutting a lot, and gradually allow more body as you approach the drop, but still keep the true low end out. So at the start of bar 1, set the filter frequency pretty high, like 1.2 to 2.5 kHz. Then by the end of bar 8, bring it down to somewhere around 250 to 600 Hz. That last number depends on your track. If your drop has a massive sub and a big reese, stay higher. If it's more liquid and open, you can allow a little more low mid, but still don't let sub in. If you want a more modern, slightly weird approaching object feel, try a reverse gravity trick. Automate the filter downward, getting thicker, while your pitch goes upward. Opposing motion creates tension, because the ear can't fully predict it. Now let's add the classic tension, pitch rise. You've got two great options. First option is fast. Automate clip transpose. Open the clip envelopes and automate transpose. Start at 0 semitones. By the end of 8 bars, push it up somewhere between plus 7 and plus 12 semitones. Plus 7, a perfect fifth, gives a really nice jungle-ish lift that's musical but not too EDM. Plus 12 is the big moment, octave up, more dramatic. Second option is more sci-fi and airy, frequency shifter. Add frequency shifter after auto filter. Set it to freak shift mode, and leave fine at 0. Automate the frequency parameter from 0 Hz at the start up to somewhere between plus 150 and plus 600 Hz by the end. Use your ears. The more you shift, the more it becomes hype energy instead of a musical pitch. Set dry slash wet around 30 to 70% depending on how obvious you want it. Teacher tip. If you already used clip transposition, you can still use frequency shifter subtly as a second layer of tension, but keep it gentle or it can get harsh. Now we're going to make it wide and glossy. This is where it starts sounding expensive, but we still have to keep it mix safe. Add chorus ensemble next. Set the mode to ensemble. Amount around 20 to 40%. Rate slow, like 0.10 to 0.35 Hz. Width around 120 to 160%. Now add hybrid reverb. Choose an algorithmic hall, or shimmer if you want a bit of shine, but use shimmer lightly because it can get sharp fast. Set decay somewhere around 4 to 10 seconds for a big build. Pre-delay around 10 to 25 milliseconds to keep the reverb from smearing the source too immediately. Now the most important part for D&B, use the reverb filters. Low cut between 300 and 800 Hz, and high cut around 7 to 12 kHz so it stays smooth. Dry slash wet around 15 to 35% if it's on the channel. If you're using a send, keep the insert reverb lighter. And here's a great automation move. Slowly increase the reverb wetness toward the end of the build, but not so much that you lose definition. Think halo grows, not sound disappears. Now we add movement that locks to the 170 BPM grid, because a riser that pulses with the track feels like it belongs to the drums instead of floating above them. Add auto pan, but we're going to use it as tremolo. Set phase to 0 degrees. That means both sides dip together, so it's volume modulation, not left-right panning. Set the rate to sync and choose 1/4 or 1/8. Start with 1/4 for the early build. Then you can switch or automate to 1/8 near the end for intensity. Amount around 20 to 60%. Use a sine shape for smooth, or a more squarish shape if you want it choppier. For jungle flavor, try this. Keep it gentle until the last two bars, then push the amount up and go 1/8. That's the oh it's happening moment. Now, a big pro move. Two-stage lift. Instead of a perfectly linear ramp, create a gear change at bar 5. Bars 1 to 4. High pass higher than you think. Lower reverb. Lower tremolo amount and slightly quieter overall. Then at bar 5, bump the output trim up 2 to 4 dB. Open some brightness, increase motion, and push the pitch harder. That step is very D&B. People feel it immediately. Let's talk stereo discipline, because field recordings plus chorus plus reverb can completely vanish in mono. Go to your master and temporarily add a utility, or just use a utility somewhere for checking, and hit mono. If your riser collapses or gets weirdly quiet, it's too dependent on wide modulation. Fix it by reducing chorus width or amount, and rely more on EQ motion, filter automation, and volume shaping. You can also put utility at the end of the riser chain and automate width. Start wide, like 150%, and then narrow slightly near the end, like 90 to 110%. That narrowing right before the drop can actually make the drop feel wider by contrast. Now we need the secret sauce, the landing. A riser that never releases will make your drop feel smaller, so we create impact with silence. In the last 1/8 to 1/4 bar before the drop, automate the riser volume down. You can do a quick dip, or even a hard cut on the last 1/16 for that vacuum effect. Then do a controlled reverb throw. On your REV long return, put hybrid reverb with a big hall, decay 8 to 14 seconds, and again, I pass it hard around 600 Hz and low pass around 9 to 12 kHz. This keeps the tail from muddying the cake and sub. Now automate the send to REV long. In the last bar before the drop, push the send up, so the riser throws into the space. Then, exactly at the drop, snap that send back to zero. You get the sense of tail energy, but you don't mask the first kick transient. Optional, but very deed NB. Sidechain the riser to the kick. Add compressor after your reverb and modulation. Turn on sidechain. Choose the kick as the input. Ratio 2:1:4:1, attack 2 to 10 milliseconds, release 60 to 140 milliseconds. Aim for 2 to 5 dB of gain reduction on peaks. The riser stays loud, but it bows politely to the groove. Now let's zoom out and make sure the 8-bar blueprint is doing the job. Bars 1 to 4, thin and wide, higher high pass, less reverb, less motion. Bars 5 to 7, pitch rise becomes obvious, tremolo increases, reverb grows. Bar 8. Either a suck moment and then silence, or a cut and a reverb throw, so the drop smacks. If your field recording is super washy and doesn't feel rhythmic enough at 170, add a quiet tick layer, a tiny noise tick or hat, filtered above 6 to 8 kHz, increasing in density toward the drop. It's subtle, but it glues the transition to the tempo without turning into a generic EDM build. Now, quick common mistakes to avoid. Don't leave low end in. Anything below roughly 200 to 400 Hz is usually just mud in a DNB build. Don't overdo filter resonance. If you hear a whistle, you've gone too far. Don't drown it in reverb. Huge in solo is often messy in the mix. Don't rely on only a pitch ramp. Without automation shape, it's boring. And always cut or dip before the drop, because that release is what makes the drop feel like a drop. Before we wrap, I want you to turn this into a reusable tool. Make an audio effect rack early and macro control the performance. Map filter frequency, resonance or drive, pitch or frequency shift amount, reverb wet or send, width, tremolo amount, brightness via an EQ shelf, and an output trim. That's the difference between cool sound and usable in every project. And here's your mini practice exercise. Take one field recording and make 3 risers in 20 minutes. One is riser air, texture warp, hall reverb, minimal modulation. One is riser pulse. Auto pan tremolo sync to 1/8. Automate the amount up. This audio version is shortened for playback.